Blog Talk Radio.
I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it blooms. A great work. It's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
Good afternoon, everyone. We want to thank you for joining the Anointed Women's Ministry from the Anointing Full Gospel Center. We just say thank you for taking your time, your lunch break with us this day. We just wanted to say thank you. And we just honor God for getting us this day. And we just thank God, we honor him, and we just lift up our leader, her family, in this time of loss. And we just pray for her continual comfort and strength and support, encouragement, and comfort of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we just say thank you, God, for this day, for this opportunity to be able to come before your people this day and to be able to share, various topics, things that affect us all. And again, I wanted to mention, because again, as we always do, it's about the book, I When I Am a Survivor, that is by the author, Margaret L. Moore. Again, it is a phenomenal book in which you can get on Amazon, and it talks about various topics, from loss, from emotions down to self-resolution and everything in between. And again, one thing that I can say about this book is that it does not just start and stop with the beginning and end. This is something that you can actually refer back to, because as all of us know, the human life, like creation, evolves. It changes. It does not remain the same. Whatever we may face today, we may not face the next day, or we may not face a year from now, but wherever we're at, we can always go back to it. Or it's always good to have the knowledge for yourself, because the one thing that I know I've learned is at church is that even if it doesn't apply to you now, it's good to accept it, because somebody else can use it. You may cross someone's path who may be confronted with something that you just gain wisdom from, you gain knowledge off of, that you can be able to share with them. And that's what this book does. It gives us an awareness, a knowledge of truth, things that oftentimes that it's hard for us to express or explain, because if we have not been taught those things, then we're not aware of it. And it doesn't make us less than a person. It doesn't make us less than a man or a woman. It just makes us human. We have to be taught in order to be able to have the knowledge of something. Just like a child is not born with the intellectual ability of chemistry. They have to be taught those things. They have to learn basic science. They have to learn biology. And then they grow into the understanding of what science is, to be able to go and be able to master chemistry. So that's the same way of how this book does with us. It helps us by giving us knowledge and experience through the author and through her journey. So we could be able to look at our lives and to be able to see, oh, well, that's what I may have been feeling. That's the kind of person I was dealing with. Those are the things. So that's what it does. It helps us to be able to come into the knowledge of that. And the reason why I wanted to mention that is because it is a book that I often go back to, because, again, it's one that you can. It's not one, because, again, I can sit and read a whole book in one day, and it's good. I enjoy it, but this is one that you cannot just speed through. It is one that you got to take time, because oftentimes it's going to hit you in a place that you can relate to, because that's what this is about, is being able to relate to one another, being able to relate our experiences, not necessarily following someone else's steps to do, because in social media, that's often what we see, is follow these steps in order to have this kind of money, or follow these steps in order to have this kind of relationship, or look at where I'm at. If you follow these steps, you can be here too. But who's to say their steps are going to work for you? And that's what I want to mention today, is about those things are good. They're sharing their experiences, and there's nothing wrong with being aware. But what I can honestly say, what I have learned, and especially it talks about in the book, that's, and what it does talk about, is being able to look back at your own journey, being able to see where you have come from. And by when you're able to see where you come from, then you can know where you're going. And so today I want to talk about intimacy in relationships. There are many different elements to intimacy, but what I want to say is, do we understand what they are, how they're important, and why are they needed? Because all of us are familiar, at least I know I am, when I sat and thought about it growing up, especially when you become into late teens, early 20s, anytime the word intimacy was kind of thrown in our lives, and our elements were like, oh, okay, well, that's sex. That's kind of how we identified it. But never really being taught or given the knowledge to understand what intimacy actually means. And to know that it does not only relate to sex. There is so much more to intimacy. Because I remember seeing in this movie, honestly, and she had an intimacy with this man. It was not sex, it wasn't at all. And that was the first time it hit me that, wait a minute, intimacy is not just sex. Because she was saying that being able to have the closeness with him, being able to communicate with him, share her heart with him, share what's on her mind, and not feel beat down, not feeling criticized, or that you're not good enough, or why are you thinking that? This is who you're supposed to be. You know, you shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't think that way. But she was able to be able to be herself with no hinges, no filters, but she was able to be herself. And she realized that I actually was able to experience intimacy. And from that moment, which is over 10 years ago now, I've always thought intimacy, or over 10 years ago, I always thought intimacy was sex because it was never explained. And it could possibly be that others didn't really fully understand. And it's nothing wrong with that. But when we come into the knowledge of something we don't know, it's good to share it because other people may not know. And just because we're adults or just because we're in marriages or in relationships doesn't mean that we come into it with knowing everything. But when we do come into the knowledge of it, come into the truth of it, then we can change. We can nurture some areas that need to be nurtured. So again, as I mentioned, there are many different elements that we can look at with intimacy, but it solely means closeness. That's all it means. It's just by being able to be close, intimate, in a private setting with someone else. And so the three things I want to talk about in intimacy, because again, we're familiar with the physical aspect, but there are different areas that I want to also talk about. That's emotional intimacy, mental intimacy. And mental intimacy can also be called intellectual intimacy. And the last one is spiritual intimacy. Now, again, just because you may, if you're in a relationship, not in one, desire to be in one, does not mean you're excluded from it. Because even though these different points could actually be applied to any relationship, and as we know, it varies based upon the nature of it. Because you have to be able to, being able to share your thoughts and ideas in an intellectual way, for example, with the boss. But you're not going to have a more of an emotional kind of intimacy like you would with a partner, like you would with a coworker. So it's still going to be able to involve intimacy, but it depends on the nature of the relationship. So again, all these different areas could apply to relationships, but this one we're going to talk about partner relationships. When you're in an intimate relationship with your significant other, or when you desire to be in one. And the one thing that I remember, I was thinking about it before the broadcast, a thought came to me, it is very important to learn how to swim before you jump in the ocean. The one thing you don't want is to be in the middle of the ocean on a boat and you have no idea how to swim, find out how to swim. Get the knowledge of it first before you jump out in the ocean because everybody else is. And honestly, that's how a lot of us have gone into relationships. I don't know about you, but when I think back to the very beginnings of my adulthood, late teens, getting into relationships, I had that same perception of what intimacy is, being physical, being sex. That's what I understood it to be and figured that, okay, well, you like me, I like you, we may have this one thing in common. Okay, it's going to work. But failing to understand there is so much more to it. And the reason why I set that example about just the knowledge before you jump into the ocean is just because if you're not in a relationship now does not mean you should wait until you get into one to find out. I know my pastor talks about dropping nuggets, and she would often do that in her example of symbolizing sharing knowledge, sharing wisdom. Just because a person may not be in a relationship or just because a person is in a marriage doesn't mean that the knowledge is not valuable. It just is based upon where the person is. And that's what's important. And often I was thinking about this last night because, again, oftentimes we look at social media and we tend to see people sharing their steps and, you know, ways in order to accomplish these things. And I think it's good. That's great to be able to get the knowledge and share it with someone else. But I think the key factor in that is that they have to look back and gain the knowledge of where they have been in order to get to where they're going. And that's the same thing to apply to us today. And so by being able to look back and finding and looking at those relationships and saying, okay, what in those relationships that could have been something that could have been nurtured more on, whether it be emotional. Like when we talk about emotional intimacy, that's being able to share your deepest feelings, desires, your thoughts of how you feel with someone else, being able to be allowing them and them with you closeness and being able to have that emotional freedom without feeling torn down, broken, abandoned, simply because you've expressed how you feel. So emotional intimacy allows you that availability, sharing that with someone else. And also in research and finding that, and also it was a confirmation because a thought came to me actually a few weeks ago about being emotionally unavailable. And that is something that is a person who emotionally shuts themselves off. They may be able to take you out. They may be able to sit and have a conversation with you. But when it comes to expressing their desires, how they feel, those deep fears and concerns, that sensitive place, by being able to unveil that, they are unavailable. They're not allowing you into that, and they're not allowing themselves to be open to that. And so because of that, that could hinder a relationship. And so the reason why I mention that is because a lot of times when we look back at our relationships and we look back and see if I was in these relationships, physical intimacy was there, for example, mental and intellectual intimacy was there, and we're going to talk on that later. But when we look back and see that those were significant, they were thriving, and all those different things, when it looks to emotional intimacy, for an example, then we've come to find out I didn't have that. I didn't have that freedom to be able to be there without feeling like I'm less than, always feeling like I have to be on, doing this, doing that. I don't need help. I'm okay, because you don't want to burden the other person. That, looking back, could be, if that's a pattern in my past relationships or in your past relationships, then that's an area that needs to be nurtured. And again, like I said, if you're in a relationship and you find that if that's a truth for you, it's okay. Now it's just time. Now you recognize it. You have the knowledge of it. Now it's just time to nurture it. So that way you can be able to have a healthier relationship. All it is about is looking back to gain what was viable that may have been lacking, may have been missing, or simply just the lack of knowledge. Because again, a lot of the times, these are things that we just didn't know. And sometimes we don't want to feel like we don't know. We don't want to feel like, oh, I'm this age and I shouldn't know. But when you come into the knowledge of it, then at that point, we can make a change. We can do things differently. And so by being able to be emotionally aware, then we can be able to make changes. So when we do get into a relationship, then we can be able to identify that, okay, if this is what I need, then you can be able to find out, is this person emotionally, are they able to be intimate with me emotionally, or are they emotionally unavailable? Because, again, if we don't know these things, if we're not aware of it, then we can go into another relationship and end up having the same outcome. And so the next thing we want to talk about is mental and intellectual intimacy. Now, that is whenever you're able to share your perspective, your ideas, and you're able to share that with someone, something that you may not be able to share with somebody else. Like, for example, like if you're a person who is very creative or that you like to share, talk about politics or talk about religion, talk about topics that sometimes people say you shouldn't talk about in public, for example, or all those different things people say. So sometimes, you know, you don't talk about those things, to be honest with you. But if you're able to share that with somebody who you know won't judge you, who will not tear you down, who won't look at you differently and say, oh, you can't talk like that. You can't, oh, no, no, no. No, that's not right. And want to reject you for that. We all have a right, but by being able to acknowledge that that is something that is needed, because all of us, you may not be a person who may be as interested in politics, but I want to say this is good to be aware. It's good to be aware of what's going on in the world around us. But if you're a person who may not be as passionate about planting, for example, planting flowers, planting foods, different things like that, but you may be very passionate about, about politics, for example, or educational values, whatever it is, but by being able to share that, to share yourself in an intellectual way, what's on your mind, being able to express that to somebody else, that's important. That helps to develop a closeness with that other person. You're able to share that with that other person. And that other person is able to share that, and you have a safe place with them, something that you won't be able to have with other people. I know I've heard many couples who are married in many relationships will say, this is my best friend. And a best friend is someone that you can feel safe with, someone that you can feel comfortable with. Now, that doesn't just happen simply because they like you and you like them and you like going out once or twice a week. No, that takes time. It takes nurturing and they're in all those intimate areas to develop that closeness with that person, to develop that safe haven with that person, being able to be unified with that person in those areas. Because if not, then you won't be able to have that best friend kind of relationship, if I can say it that way. You may have a relationship, but it may be lacking. You may be able to talk to this person when it comes to emotional support, may talk to this person for mental stimulation. You may talk to that person for this, and may talk to your spouse when it comes to physical. So by being able to recognize where we're at, we can be able to identify what's necessary for us and for our relationship. But a lot of the times, if we're not aware of it, we tend to go around the same kind of relationship, the same cycle all over again. Now, again, it doesn't mean that a person is wrong because, you know, you may not be able to communicate with them on an intellectual way, but be aware of it. And if that's something you desire, then that's your choice of how you choose to go forward in that relationship. But the point of this today is just be aware of it. Because, again, I don't know about you, but these are things that I was not taught about. It was not discussed with me. So when I got into relationships, then those were areas that I can focus on, I could nurture on, and be able to communicate with. But because it wasn't, then I didn't know. But now that I'm aware of it, then I can make those necessary changes. And the last thing I want to say about mental and intellectual intimacy is being stimulated, being able to challenge. And I remember, I remember Chief Apostle said that, is wanting someone who can challenge her. And that's something all of us should want, being able to challenge. And what that means is being able to cause you to think out, to think above something that you may not have known. Someone may come at you, like if it is being able to talk about politics, the person who can challenge you in that area will be able to come back with you with this information, or you guys are able to talk about this and have a healthy conversation. And that does not mean that you both agree on everything, but there is a mutual respect. You, that other person is able to hear you, to listen to you, and to respond to you with a thoughtful response. Not just, oh, okay, you're right. But a lot of the times, if you need that intellectual stimulation, you need that person who can challenge you in that, who can challenge you in that area, regardless of what that is. But that's what intellectual intimacy is, a person who can stimulate your mind, a person who can challenge you in that area. And that's something that is important when it comes to mental intimacy. And the last thing I want to talk about is spiritual intimacy, being able to share your faith and belief. Being able to understand, why do you believe the way you do? Why do you believe? Being able to share that, be able to get close with that other person to understand the why. And you believe the same thing. But by being understanding why that person believes the way they do, asking those kind of questions causes you to get close to that person and to know who you're dealing with, finding out. Because believe it or not, spiritually, we could be driven. Like if you're a person who believes and has faith in God, who believes in who Jesus is, and you stand on that, that's going to drive and direct your life. And if a person says they believe as well, you believe in the same thing, but understand why they believe. Is it when you come into that closeness with them, you come to find out it's because that was a tradition. Their grandparents, their parents did it, so they did it. But now being able to ask those questions, stimulate that other person, now they can come into the truth of now wanting to follow and have faith for themselves. All of it has purpose, but by being able to stimulate that person, by being able to have that kind of conversation with that person, to share what your life's purpose is, what you desire, what you feel your life's purpose is, being able to share that with that other person. That's what spiritual intimacy is about. That's not something that you may just share with just any person. It is pertaining to those in whom you can feel safe with. A person who's not going to take that, steal it, and try to run with it and call it their own. But one who will respect your views and respect that if you just say, I don't know, but that's a good question, I would like to find out. Someone that you can be honest with and not feel ashamed because of it. That's what intimacy is. And these are just the various areas when it comes to developing intimacy, being open with one another. That's what's important. And being able to do that is simply looking back, finding what's significant in your past relationship, and tailor-made it to what you know is necessary for what you need. And I was thinking about, when I was thinking about that, I thought about when it was prom season for me, and I couldn't find a prom dress whatsoever. But in fact, I found three. I didn't find one that I liked. I found three. Each of them had something significant or special to me, something that I liked about them. So instead, I ended up making a dress, not me, but had someone make it, that had all three special things that I liked in one dress. And that was something that was special to me. And the same thing where we can look at in our past relationships. Take a key thing, even if it didn't work, even if it may have just been a messed up relationship, but there's something we can learn from it. If a person You gave your all. You were expressive. You were emotionally there. Or in my case, I was thinking back on my past about this, and I remember having one relationship, and he was not feeding me intellectually. And I just sat there, and I just was like, I ain't gonna be able to do this. You know, you want to hold that kind of conversation, just whatever it is, whether it be about what's going on in the news, what's going on in society, being able to talk about things spiritually, but it wasn't there. And that's something, this wasn't important to him, or wasn't important to him to have that with me. But just accepting that, look, I didn't realize it then, that it was just mental stimulation I needed. But now that I'm in the knowledge of it, then I can realize that that's something that's important to me. That's something that I need. Going forward, now I can now look at those key things in my past and to see that this is what I need going forward. And so with that being said, I want to go to the book, When I Am a Survivor, on page 107. And it's the subject of relationships. And it's actually in the very beginning. It is a quote that reads, invest in people who are real, dependable, sensible, and serious about where they're going in life by making you a part of their agenda in getting there. And this is how you do it. Being able to invest. But if we don't know how, if we don't have the knowledge of how to do something, then that's when we get the same thing. That's what the definition of insanity is. We're doing the same thing, but you're expecting a different result. And so now we can come into the knowledge of this, then we can get a different result. Then we can experience something different. It's by now learning how to invest that you can get a person that you can depend on, a person you can feel safe with, a person who will be respectful and sensible to your needs, and being able to incorporate you in their lives, being able to want you to be a part of their plan, their agenda for their lives. That's ultimately what we desire to have in a spouse. Is we want someone who wants us. And even as we go into the Word of God that talks about in Matthew 19, verse 5, and it speaks about, I'll read it, and verse 5 says, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, that in itself is something that is very significant, because in order to be one, one must leave the past. Because if we don't understand our past, if we don't understand, why am I in the same thing over and over again? Why every single relationship I get is the same person who can't hold a conversation, or the same person who is emotionally shut down? It could potentially be that we may need to nurture some things in ourselves in order to get what we want. If I want to have a stimulating relationship, then maybe that is something that I have to nurture. So we got to leave how things were in the past. Take the key elements in our past, relationships. And now we can be able to invest and have that relationship that is built on unity, that's built on truth, that's built on trust, value, faith, respect, all those different values that you and I have. And again, it's all about going back, understanding it, so we can be able to have a healthier relationship going forward. So again, I thank you all for taking this time. We thank God for the opportunity to share with you. And again, it's about sharing the knowledge that you may not have known or need to be revisited. But I know for me, a lot of things didn't know, but this helped, so we can be able to do things different or share with the younger generation, to be able to pass that truth on, to pass that knowledge on, so they don't have to follow in our same footsteps. So again, I thank you all for taking the time. I thank God for this opportunity. We pray that all of you will have a safe, blessed weekend, and we thank you for taking your time, your lunch break, your time with us. So we just say thank you, and until the next time,